B-Pod Studios.
Can he turn the corner and get in? Yes! We got a Jackson 5! Lamar with 5 touchdown passes. Willie Snead.
Well, the Ravens just keep on rolling. 45-6 last night over the Rams, who stink. They're a bad team.
What? You killed Sean McVay.
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know what I think is happening? Super Bowl loss hangover, which happens to a lot of teams.
Wait, forget how to play man coverage? Don't you have Jalen Ramsey?
Super Bowl loss hangover.
Did Jalen Ramsey play for them? The best corner ever that you gave up 2 1s for?
Yeah. How's that working out for you?
Jesus.
How's that deal working out?
Well, at least
out?
He stuck around after the game to get in a fight with everybody, yelling at people.
The Ravens are now 9-2, Zoe. They're a problem. Let me just put this in simple terms.
I'm serious.
They're a problem.
I'm in awe of them. It's impressive what they're doing. Jackson's phenomenal. They got to be careful of not peaking too early. Seriously. Because guess who they got next week?
Come on.
I can't believe this is a 1 o'clock game
Come
next
on.
Week. San Francisco Ravens. How does that not get flexed?
I think, I was talking about this before the show with Jim, I think it's because NFC matchup.
Well,
it's not strictly
game.
Within the conference.
Yeah.
And so they might have less flexibility in terms of what they can flex.
Is that an AFC game, Jim?
Because
CBS? It's in Baltimore.
No, it's a Fox game.
Oh,
no,
it's
Fox
game.
NFC visiting.
You think Fox would
AFC.
Protect that and put that at flex at the floor?
Fox just had the national game of the
okay,
week this
that's
week.
Right, yes, that's
CBS
right.
CBS flexed a game into the 425
and
next
CBS
week.
CBS now has the national.
Who
this
they
week?
They flexed
so,
Chiefs Raiders into 425.
Oh, yeah, so it wasn't an option. It had to be an AFC matchup on
yeah,
CBS.
Yeah, you're right.
It got flexed this week. So that's why.
Well, that's bad planning.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is and it isn't.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's one of those weekends where a lot of people will be watching football. So
right.
It's a football weekend, and they'll do great with that as a 1 o'clock game.
Hey, if Baltimore could keep this rolling through Week 17, they got 49ers. They're at the Bills. Jets are playing better. Offensively, should give them a little
You're
bit of a
really
game.
You're really worried. Like, that's
no.
their biggest concern
no, no,
is
but
peaking
at,
too soon.
What at the Browns and Steelers.
What a classy problem that is.
But it has happened to teams before. And then all of a sudden you get hit in the mouth, you throw 3 picks, and then your season's over. Like, wham. And it could be a bad matchup for them. They're rolling right now, though. Here's the biggest thing I take from it. And being around them down there and watching it in person. They are a confident, cocky, believable group. They emit manliness, if that makes any sense.
Manliness.
Like, they got freaking swagger. They use their swagger, and then they rub their swagger in your face.
All right.
And they laugh at you.
Here's what they got left. San Francisco, Buffalo, Jets, Browns,
yep.
Steelers. Those are the 5 remaining games for your Ravens. Your Ravens.
Yeah. Awful uniforms last night, by the way.
This team is a problem. And I'll tell you why. How many games out of those last 5 you think they can win?
4.
4.
I can see them getting popped once.
Okay.
So you need to stay. But because now we go to New England. Okay, what do you got to do to stay 1 game ahead of them?
If I had to guess right now, I look at them like, oh, they're going to win like 4 of their last 5.
Yeah, they should win 4 of the last 5. We're going to find out about we're going to find out about the high-flying San Francisco
49ers. They're going to probably be like a 13-win team. Yeah. 13-3.
I'll tell you what, if Jimmy and that crew go there and take care of them, then we need to start talking about San Francisco.
Which means
I've dismissed them.
The Patriots have room for 1 more loss.
Yeah. You actually have room for 1 more loss, potentially.
You have room for 1 more under that scenario. If the Ravens take care of business against the teams they should beat, the Patriots then would be left with needing a 14-2 record, and they have room for 1 more loss. That's what the Patriots have. No taking it easy in Week 17. None of that. That means they've got to play hard all the way out for the Patriots, who have Houston, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Miami. That's how it shakes out for the Pats. 2 more road games at Houston this weekend and at Cincinnati. That means they cannot afford to lose more than one more game, and that sort of puts them in an every week must-win type of situation, doesn't it? They're 10-1, and they can't even feel comfortable because of these Ravens. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem for this team.
For the show.
Worried about it?
I'm not worried about it.
I am. I'm worried about it because they can't go there.
Well, then, if you have to worry about it at this point, you know, with a game lead, then that's on you.
So, Fox visiting.
You think Fox would have to worry
about going to Baltimore?
That would mean that you didn't handle business at the end of the year. Then you deserve to be in that spot where you have to go there.
Well, yeah, then you'll lose.
It's there.
Then you don't go
right
to the
now,
Super Bowl.
Game. Oh, so Fox NFC game. Visiting.
You think Fox would protect that? Put that in. Flex at the
Fox just had the national game.
And you got the Chiefs at home. That's it. There's your season. Next 2 weeks. We talked about this gauntlet. You're 2-0 through the gauntlet so far. You beat the Eagles. You beat the Cowboys, and you have 2 games left. That's it. Eagles, Cowboys, Chiefs. I mean, Texans, Chiefs. That's what you're worried about.
Can you hear Jim's mic again?
Yeah.
Yeah, so can I.
You good, Jim?
Same as last week.
Speak. There he is. There he is.
No, you're not on the air, but you are talking to us. We can hear you breathing.
I'm telling you, it was a tight game. It was a good game down in Baltimore. You lost it, but it was a good game.
And now they
did good things.
They have beaten all the good competition.
Yeah.
You cannot deny them that.
Hey, they got to go to Buffalo's going to be tough up there for them. That's good defense they got to face.
I mean, they beat Seattle. They beat the Patriots.
Yep.
They beat Houston. They beat the Rams.
You got a 10-win team again this week, 10-1.
They lost to Kansas City by 5 back in September. You got to go back to September for that one. And no one will understand how it is they dropped that game to Cleveland. But that's their one questionable loss on their schedule. They've got 2 losses.
Bad matchup.
And one of them was a horrible loss at Cleveland. And if it weren't for that loss, they would be the number one seed right now. Mm. That's the only thing separating them from being the number one seed and the number two seed is they lost to Cleveland. Yuck. Bad loss. So, how does it impact the Patriots going forward? And they're going to have to go out and win every single weekend now because these Ravens will not go away.
Sure won't. Good team playing at a high level. Fast, aggressive, physical. Good football team.
What did we say?
Well coached.
We said after the game against the Patriots, well, they've got Houston coming up. They got the Rams coming up. They've got the 49ers. There'll be some losses in there. So far, none.
Houston and the Rams are paper, though. I mean, we like to look at it because of the name.
They crushed Houston.
Rams stink.
It wasn't even close.
Well, so the Patriots should have no problem going in there this Sunday, then.
Well, Houston, I got them 34-16. I think everything comes together this week. I do. I think it all comes together for them. I think they get healthy. They get all the receivers back. You're in a dome. Should operate better on offense. You get your line back together. Let's go. Defense should take care of them.
I mean, first place team.
I got them winning big.
7-4. They don't stink.
Houston, yeah. Houston always does something stupid in this game.
And maybe they will. And maybe they will play that role once again, and they will be stupid.
No Clowney, no Watt. Yeah.
All right, 617-779-0985. Thoughts on the Ravens and what it does to the Patriots moving forward in terms of hanging on to that number one seed? And do they need that number one seed? I think they do for this team. Because of the Ravens, I think they need the number one seed.
The way your team is constituted and built, the character of your team and how your team is shaped, what's the chemistry of this football team right now? It's defense, special teams. That's what you're winning with. And be functional on offense. So
617-779-0985. We'll talk more about Lamar Jackson. There's some comparisons being drawn between him and Michael Vick out there. That's worth discussing. Also, Zoe, I saw your tweet today from Good Morning Football. You're upset with the Good Morning Football
group? Not Good Morning Football. I understand why they did it. I mean, there's some good teams ahead of them.
Backing down.
Not backing down. Just you're fifth.
I'll read your tweet coming up next.
You're 10-1 and you're ranked 5.
I'll let everybody know what Zoe's tweet said this morning.
Power
he was
rankings.
Very disappointed with the power rankings on Good Morning Football. We'll get through all this today, all right?
I'll wake up our day and say, hey, Good Morning Football.
Hey, Good Morning Football.
They let me down today.
All right, how you doing there, football? 617-779-0985. Your calls as well. We are live at Gillette.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, congratulations, man. That's a great job. Hey, a lot of talk about situational football, man, all the way. All three phases, really a hell of a job. You know, making plays on offense, defense, great 4-minute drive here at the end. Block, punt, defense, no touchdowns. I mean, it's a good team victory. It's what we need, all right? So we've been working for it. It's what we are. whatever the conditions are, whatever it takes. But congratulations, man. That's the way to grind it out this week. Grind it out today. Taking good care of football. All right. Damn good win. 10-1.
In order for you to be thankful, to give thanks, you got to have the proper perspective. We talked about it last night. And I think one thing that I saw tonight was the character of this team on display yet again. And I'm certainly thankful to be a part of a group like that. I'm thankful.
Talk to me.
To be 10-1. Yes, sir. Stand up in here. 10-1. How do we feel about 10-1?
Slater breaking it down. Post game, Patriots locker room.
How do we feel? How do we feel about being 10-1?
Gronk, by the way, something we'll get to in a little bit. Gronk?
Who?
Gronk. Who? He says who now? Rob Gronkowski. Did you happen to catch the comment he made about how it can. Even when you win in New England, it may not be fun.
Yeah.
I hadn't fully invested the time
after
to see that.
That was after the Eagles game. He should be happy. Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I knew that it was related to Brady is what they were talking about.
Yeah, they were
about,
talking about Brady being his demeanor.
That, like, he can be miserable there.
Right.
It's one more reason for
revelation.
You to be out on Gronk. No, but be 10-1. You should be thrilled with 10-1.
No, I mean, they started this with the Danny Amendola. Be free. Be happy. Happy, remember? I'm not happy. Be happy. Be free.
Yeah.
Run, stay.
Right,
late.
Be happy, free. Be free.
Yeah.
And as I think about that this time around.
That's been there. That's been out there.
Bill Belichick has been happy and free. Bill Belichick,
like, enjoying himself.
Post-game, the last 2 weeks, has been all kinds of fun and has given the guys the Monday off and has been.
Victory Monday.
Has been very, very strong in his praise of the team after
That's what
the game.
We do. That's how we are. We adjust. That's what we do. We protect the ball. Offense, good 4-minute drive. Way to finish that game.
Has he not been Mr. Positive the last couple of weeks?
Yeah. Likes his team. He likes his team. No doubt about
it. So, you know, when Gronk levies his complaints, right?
They want fun out there running around in Philly, right?
He does all his complaining about the Patriots. It's all directed at Bill.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
well, who's been the sour one the last couple of weeks? It hasn't been Bill.
It's been Tom.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird how, like, you know.
But I understand what Tom
Gronk's
Cooney
out there on television
the
saying
offense,
that, but
right.
It's like, hey, Gronk, it's your buddy Tom Brady who's the one not having the fun this time around. It's not your head coach. Bill Belichick appears to be thrilled with where his team is at, and he should be. They're 10-1. Being 10-1 is hard in the NFL.
Oh, Brady's having fun being 10-1.
Even when we look at the
functionality
team,
of the offense, it's like, easy.
We're a bunch of spoiled brats here in New England. We all look at the team and go, oh, well, I don't know if they're as good as last year's team.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're good enough to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I was thinking today, Jim, could you remember a time when 10-1 would have been like the most insane thing ever for this team?
Prior to 2004.
Our whole fandom has been damaged in ways that
I had this argument with Tom.
It's brutal.
Because remember, Tom's been talking about this. Is it a disappointing season if they don't finish 14-2 or 15-1 based on their easy schedule?
And it's like, how could that possibly be true? But we will sit here and discuss that in earnest.
Okay, but if they,
which is crazy,
they lose the next two games and they win out and go 13-3, whether they're the one seed or the two seed. I'm okay with that. I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
that's
right
13-3.
Back to last year.
That's good. I'm
that's
fine with that.
That's last year.
You know what? They went 2-3 in their toughest stretch. Not ideal, but not terrible. It's not like they blew the whole thing. They still won two of those five tough games, and they go 13-3 heading into the playoffs, regardless of how the other teams fall. I'm good with that.
Do you know what we're due for? We're due for a sports fan like adjustment here, which is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, dude. We're all going to have to hit the reset
Keep
button.
Saying it. Yep.
And go back to being normal again because we are not normal. None of us are normal. We've all been damaged by this experience. And I feel really bad for those who are not old enough to understand what it's like when your team isn't like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are 25-year-old adults out there, not kids. I mean, you might call them kids because they're only in their 20s. But
Jimmy the intern.
They're 25-year-old adults that don't know anything else. that just know you're awesome every year, win your 10-plus games, and go to the playoffs and compete for the Super Bowl. They know no other existence.
Do you know this is the 17th straight year that they've won 10-plus games or more?
No one's ever done it except for them. So
they just played the Cowboys. You know how many? You know, I think maybe one of a handful of people that would wear Patriots gear in high school in the early 90s, right?
Do you remember when you couldn't order it from the
Cowboys from everywhere? The Cowboys gear all over the place. That's why there's so many Cowboys fans around here from that early 90s stretch when the Patriots were bad and the Cowboys were so good.
I used to remember, you know, back when there were not online sites to shop on because we didn't have the internet. You'd get like the catalogs of like football like stuff, you know, shirts and sweatshirts and things you'd buy in the pro shop now. And you'd go through and be like, "Oh, get the Patriots one." They didn't offer it. You'd go through and be like, Cowboys, Steelers. They'd offer like 10 teams. They wouldn't offer you every single team in the league. Huh. So you had to pick like 49ers, Cowboys, Giants. Like that, those were your picks.
I remember.
It was hard.
I remember that. I remember in the 90s where there was like Champion Sports at the mall. And you would go there and have all the NFL teams.
But all the starter jackets except the Patriots.
Couldn't find any of the Patriots stuff. I'm like, I wanted Patriots gear. You couldn't find it. It was all Steelers gear, Cowboys gear, all that stuff. Yeah. Buffalo. All right, Buffalo, Jim Kelly, jerseys everywhere.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. This morning, Good Morning Football.
Power rankings.
You took a picture of the screen.
Took a picture of the screen. Of a man with a Keenan Allen jersey tucked into jeans.
Yep. You got an issue with his dress, with what he's chosen to wear.
He lost the bet, so he had to wear the jersey.
Okay. Yeah. Kyle's power rankings for week 13, from what I can tell from the you didn't even get the whole screen, so I'm trying to piece it together.
Right.
He's got them at 5.
5 with an asterisk, meaning...
Where's the asterisk? I see it over here.
You know what his take on the asterisk was?
What is that?
We're lowering them down because there are some good football teams, but they could be here, but we believe in them so much that we're going to put them at 5. Even though they could go anywhere from 1 to 5. But we're going to give credit to San Francisco, to the Ravens. Ravens are obviously number one. I think he had the Saints, San Francisco, Seattle in there.
So Kyle Brandt puts them at 5. And what's your issue with the NFC getting sort of the nod here?
I think you take one, right? Power rankings. You got 10-1 team. You got 2-1 teams.
Yeah, but 10-1 doesn't. That's not what the power rankings are for. You have that's the fine. Standings for your record.
Yeah.
Like, you have the standings. It's not power rankings are about who you believe in. It's about confidence.
Currently being constituted as the number one seed in the AFC should carry more than a 5th place ranking in the league. That's all.
Okay. Right now, if you're doing power rankings, again, you don't do that based on the record. You can just look at the records. We have those. The Patriots and 49ers are 10-1. They have the best records in the league.
Yeah.
But this is about...
Okay, 49ers going there. Jimmy throws 3 picks this week. They get their doors blown off. Do they drop from 2 or 3? Do they drop outside the top 5? They should then, based on that.
I don't know. Tom Brady has no receivers, and he completes 15 passes in next week. Like, what happens then?
Did he win?
I mean, but statistically, you can look at it and make a case against him. I'm just saying. Okay. I don't fault
Lamar
anybody.
Only threw 15
I mean,
passes,
is that really that? Is that really that egregious of a...
It's just funny seeing to our 10-1 talk of how we just take it for granted here. You got a 10-1 team ranked 5th. I mean, that's ridiculous.
All right, well, okay.
Give me a break.
Would you put the Ravens ahead of the Patriots?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, yeah. That's
so, and you're
that's
offended that somebody would put the 49ers?
Team ahead of Patriots? Yeah. Because they're new. Ravens have built to this,
so
right?
What? Ravens they're 10-1. They've had a great year.
Ravens have beaten Seattle. Ravens have beaten Rams. Ravens have beaten you. The only team that team beat, San Francisco, I mean, Seattle ended up beating them.
The Saints have gone to 9-2. They lost Drew Brees for
San Francisco
half the year.
Who is San
Francisco
beat?
They're 9-2, and they've looked good.
Yeah.
So the Saints are
ahead. The Saints are. I put the Saints below you. Right below you.
But is it ridiculous that someone would suggest, hey, I like the Saints. They've only got 2 losses. But in a head-to-head matchup, I'd pick the Saints over the Patriots. That's what it is.
Saints got beat by the Falcons. You got beat by the Raiders, by the Ravens.
They did have a horrible,
horrible loss. They lost by 17 to Atlanta.
Ridiculous loss. But they've got 2 losses.
Right.
So 49ers have beaten the Bucks, the Bengals.
Thank you.
The Steelers.
Thank you.
The Browns.
Thank you.
The Rams.
Thank you.
The Redskins.
Thank you.
9-0 over the Redskins.
9-0 Redskins.
That was in that rain. That was in that pouring rain.
Pouring rain. Yeah. But they still won.
Just, well, the Patriots are getting downgraded for this win,
right,
even though it's in the pouring rain.
Right.
So,
but it's Cowboys.
Similar. Panthers.
Yep.
Cardinals.
Yeah.
Lost to the Seahawks.
All sub-500 teams.
Beat the Cardinals. Beat the bag out of the Packers the other night.
Yeah. Packers are the only good
That's
win.
Their best win.
Packers.
It's a recency bias right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recency bias. Yes.
Yeah.
But their defense looked really good. I mean, you got to give it to their defense.
Oh, their defense looks good.
Niners have Ravens Saints next 2 weeks on the road. And they have to play at the Seahawks the final game of the season.
I like
season.
That. This 49ers are going to be, you'll find out
find
for
out.
Real.
They're going to find out in the biggest moment.
And then, and then if they lose, you can put them right behind the Patriots in the power rankings.
Put them way down there. Yeah, take care of business.
That's what you can do. Put them right behind Seahawks right now.
You have, Seahawks are playing ball.
You're offended by someone putting the Seahawks in front of the Patriots?
Still two lost team.
Again, you're going back to that record.
Yeah.
We have standings.
So wants it like the AP poll in college football, where it goes in order of record, basically.
It's not what it is, though.
I feel like Burt Breer bitching about Ohio State, right? SEC bias. This is like an NFC bias here.
We have to ask Van, is we have Van Noy tomorrow, right? We have to ask him about this.
Well, ask him,
well this
Cal
is what So did. He tweeted. He said,
I put it out there,
at GMFB, good morning, football. Wow. And then space, yo, at Patriots, to make sure he tagged the Patriots. Like, hey, Patriots, see this.
You didn't tag Van Noy in it?
I'll do it.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll have to make sure he's aware of that. All right, we'll talk about Lamar Jackson and also get to your calls. Lamar Jackson, is he better or worse than Michael Vick? This seemed like a fun topic that everybody wants to talk about. Michael Vick versus Lamar Jackson. We'll weigh in on that because there is one writer who says, stop talking about that because Lamar Jackson is better. I'll tell you about that. And again, your calls after headlines. Keeps it rolling for the Ravens last night. Mike Florio had this on Pro Football Talk. He tweeted it out. Quit comparing Lamar Jackson, he said, to Michael Vick. Lamar is better than Vick. Far more consistent. Puts in the work. Makes few mistakes.
Ooh, what's puts in the work?
It's exactly what you think it means. Puts in the work.
You're hearing something he didn't like about Vick when Vick played?
Yeah. That's what everyone always heard about Vick. He never wanted to put in the work. I've always been fascinated by Michael Vick. I'm a fan. Okay? So there's some bias in this conversation.
Did Dan Reeves do the $100 bill thing?
There is... I don't know. I remember
think he
that
did
one.
In the back of the playbook, and $100 bill is still there.
Oh, that's right. He hid the money in the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was highly publicized was the Jets one, right? When he was with the Jets?
Yeah, later on.
That was... They didn't go over the gameplay. He just didn't study at all.
Yeah. By that point, he was done. I think this is a quick, little overreaction to one game here. Like, he was freaking unreal last night. So now you get these type of comments the day after, right? This is what we do. So
No. The Vic Lamar Jackson comparison's been going on.
No. But I we all learn stuff.
We've
about,
all just like every time it comes, I'm like, oh, stop it.
I mean, I think we need to see more. We need to keep seeing more consistently from Lamar. Like Vic did it for a while, man.
And when Michael Vick had come back and he wrote a book. I forgot that
Vic was one of the best pure throwers.
Michael Vick had a book.
The way the ball spun, it never wobbled.
Called Finally Free.
Vic's spin on his football was something like Jeff George and John Elway.
Do you know what Vic said when he was promoting the book?
What's that?
I was more dedicated to dogfighting than I was the playbook.
Yeah, because it came so natural.
And there you go. There's just your answer. That's not even a debate on Michael Vick.
But
he didn't put in the work.
I think what's nice is Lamar Jackson has Michael Vick in front of him to be compared to, and the understanding is Vick didn't put everything into it. You can be that guy and even better if you work your ass
so
off.
So this is what
that's a good. Well, no, this is a good comparison. I mean,
this is what I want to say to Florio. Like, what do you consider better? Like, better in terms of his pure talent? Because Michael Vick was 1,000 times better than Lamar Jackson, 1,000 strong. But it's not a debate.
He throws Vick through the ball
Vic
better
was
than Jackson.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Vick could have been. He could have been the best quarterback, and I'm not talking about. Did he have 6 rings or, you know, not number Super Bowls or anything like that. He could have been the best, most unique quarterback to ever play in the NFL. And he blew it because he didn't put the work in.
Yeah.
Because he could get by on his natural ability.
See, and that's the stuff that pisses people off the dim plate. I don't think that you have to put so much into it to get to that level where everything came so naturally to him.
He was so good that he could go out and win games, and he did have a winning record in his career. In Atlanta, his record was 38-28-1 as a starter. Now, could they have been a lot better? Yeah. With Michael Vick doing the studying? Yep. So, Lamar Jackson is I can understand why you'd be more of a fan of that. A guy who puts in the work and he's hardworking and he overcomes whatever he doesn't have talent-wise to be the quarterback that he's become for that team. And because he's a winner and because he's putting in the work and he is more consistent. So, I don't have an issue with any of the things he says there. Is he more consistent, puts in the work, and makes few mistakes? Sure. Does that mean he's better just on the analysis of like who's got more ability as a quarterback? Because Vic's ability was off the charts.
I think Zoe's downplaying Lamar Jackson's season, though.
Yeah, he is.
It's not just one.
If Lamar Jackson were in the NFC playing for another team and hadn't beaten the Patriots, Zoe would be not downplaying.
He has 24 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Nobody has more touchdown passes than him.
Yeah, take care of the football.
He's third in the league in quarterback ranking. And, oh, by the way, he's ninth in the league in rushing and has 6
That's
rushing touchdowns.
Good.
He has 876 yards rushing.
Go back and look at Vic's,
on top of
some of
all that stuff.
Like that. I mean, Vic had those years.
But, no, you're saying people are overreacting after one game. It's not one game.
I know
it's the entirety of the season.
I mean, but
and what he did last year.
What did he do last year?
In the playoffs he did. Yeah. In the playoffs. Everyone remembers the one playoff game. We talk about one game deciding people's opinions of a guy. Everyone's deciding that he can't win because of the one playoff game that he played. And that's it. He had a great stretch leading up to that point.
I'm not downplaying Jackson. I thought Vic was phenomenal. Phenomenal talent. And now someone's just going to say he's better after 1 year. Dang. I think it's a little quick. That's all. I'm not downplaying Jackson's season. I said, the guy's phenomenal. But just say, okay, this guy's better. It's like saying a receiver comes in and just blows Jerry Rice's doors off. You know? Just let's see how long he can do it.
I don't think he needs... Listen, I think there's a case to be made that he can't continue to play like this because you'll only get 6, 7 years out of him. Because I saw him get dropped a couple of times last night. Where oh my God.
I didn't know he got up from the one. Right.
You can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
You can't keep doing this with this guy. But that's a different discussion. This is about who would be better. You know, Michael Vick is coming out or Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's off to a much better start. I can tell you that. Vick's best year in Atlanta was the year they had, I think, 11 wins. It was 2004.
They won the playoff game, right, in Green Bay?
2004 Falcons. Where did they finish that year? I know they had... Yeah, they were 11-5. They had 11 wins that year. Okay? And in that season, Vick... What were the touchdown-to-pick ratio 24-5. There? 24-5?
24-5.
Yeah. He had 14 touchdowns and 12 picks.
Wow.
That was in the good year. He had the highest completion percentage in a season in his time in Atlanta in 2004. It was 56.4. He threw for 2,300 yards is what he did. And that was his highest quarterback rating of any of... second highest. Sorry. Second highest QB rating.
I mean, the year in Philly is the one I remember. That one he had in Philly under Andy Reid. That's the year that I was like, this is the guy who put it all together,
yeah,
passing and rushing.
Yeah, and that was the 1 year that he came back and actually studied and did the work. And Andy Reid was there, and Marty Morningweg was the offensive coordinator there that just stayed on him and got him to do the work and got him to focus and study. And I don't even really think that lasted. He came back that next year. They weren't as good, and I don't think he was as good. So that year, 21 touchdowns, 6 picks. Except at that time, he was 30 years old. He had missed out on his 20s. I just think it's yeah, fine. You can be more consistent.
His projections are 3,500, 35,700. Wow.
A 617, 779.
1,200 rushing yards. That's
0985. Quickly, Fred's in Norwood. Fred, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm just wondering, can we have Lamar Jackson play what did he play, 16 total games before we start comparing him to one of the best rushing quarterbacks ever? Like,
That's my
point.
The NFL
is so different nowadays.
Give me another year.
Why not? What is the harm in talking about this? What? This is what we do. We talk about it. We make comparisons. No one is harmed by talking about Michael Vick versus Lamar Jackson. It's not disrespectful to Michael Vick. How many wins does Lamar Jackson have right now?
I don't know. He's got what? 9-2?
Nine. Which means he's only two more wins shy of matching the highest win total Michael Vick ever had in a season.
Well, we got to stop talking about Jimmy Garoppolo then. He's 15-3 in his career. Garoppolo's what, 17-2 or 7, whatever he is? Like, so you got to stop talking about
Garoppolo. I keep saying about Garoppolo. Show me more. Keep going.
Okay, then Mahomes, same thing. Stop talking about Mahomes. Same amount of games, right? Are we going to do this for everybody now?
No, it's your arm.
You can't talk about young quarterbacks?
No, you can talk about them. We're talking about them.
Believe me, let's talk about him positively now, because in 3 or 4 years, like Aaron Rodgers, people are going to start seeing their warts and start talking negatively about him, even if they are good. That's what's going to happen. I did it. I've done it with Aaron Rodgers.
We got to talk to Billy Jaffe. We'll talk some Bruins with him coming up next. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in from Nesson, pregame, postgame, intermission coverage, Billy Jaffe. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Beto. How are you guys today?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Billy.
Happy Thanksgiving week to my favorite midday guys. What's you guys looking forward to it?
People tying to that. Like, you do a lot of interviews, and, like, you come on, and Fred and Rich will say it, or we'll say it. Like, hey, happy Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you.
I don't get
you. What you really mean?
What's wrong with so today?
What's
wrong with
so
today?
Who did something to your cornflakes?
No, he's taking a dig at Jim because Jim doesn't say Happy Thanksgiving. That's right. What's going on.
Why not?
That is.
I don't know why. I don't know. Ask him. Billy, ask Jim. Why doesn't he say Happy Thanksgiving?
Ask
Jimmy, why don't you say Happy Thanksgiving to anybody? What do you have against Thanksgiving
no
and being happy?
Intent. I just don't think I've ever used the phrase like walking into the room and saying Happy Thanksgiving.
It blows my mind.
It almost makes me want to have the best Thanksgiving ever because it is so abnormal to not. You walk in someone's house who's hosting. By the way, you're not even doing the cooking. You dress your little kids up. You probably have some covered dish that you're bringing. And you walk in. We put it out. What did we eat? Is that what you do? You just sit in front of the TV.
Say hi to everybody.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Oh, what are you here for?
Say Happy Thanksgiving 25 times to 25
for?
People. No, I don't say that.
Oh, it's good to see you.
Well, at least to a few people.
Party,
you know?
Help me.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Hey.
All right, Billy, thanks for the time.
Hey,
have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Get together. You know. Say, Billy, what's going on? Oh, you thought we were going to talk hockey?
All right.
I see what you thought. Yeah. You thought we were going to have Thanksgiving dinner.
Billy, let's talk hockey.
I'm just going to hang out.
Patrice Bergeron is dealing with a lower body injury, and there's no timeline on it. Could this mean that it's going to be a while?
Yeah, it could, because we don't know. They're giving... as per the norm in the NHL, for the most part, very little indication. We know that it's, you know, similar area, similar situation. Do we know if it's the exact thing that he had last, you know, was a week, 10 days ago when he was out for two games? Don't know. I'm going to surmise that it's impacted or it's been affected by it, whatever it is. You know, he talked about a groin injury in training camp, taking some time off in the off season, so... We know it's lower body. We know it's in that area, whether it's the abductor core, whatever, groin. There's obviously a flare-up. Is it pain? Is it tightness? Is it something that's just making it too uncomfortable for him to really get after it? The thing with Patrice Beatles, you don't really know sometimes. I mean, the guy, not that points means everything, but he had 4 assists the other night, played, what, 16, 18 minutes as usual, and he's averaging, you know, 18 minutes a game or 18-plus, almost 19 as a regular with the Bruins. But the thing of it is, you know, it's cliche, but manage it now. I'd rather have him out now than later in the season. Whether that means it's going to take him a month, 2 months, or just two more games, my gut tells me that he's out for the week. That's my gut. Because they have back-to-backs, then they have off day Thursday, then they have an afternoon game Friday. And if he hasn't skated before that, I don't know how he's going to come back. That doesn't mean he couldn't skate for a day or two here with the guys that are, you know, injured, scratches right now that are home. But... my gut tells me he's out for the next three. But that's just, I mean, you know, again, without knowing anything hard, concrete, that's just my gut.
What do you make of that comeback on Saturday? What's that tell you about this team you didn't already know?
It tells me that I knew that they had fortitude. I knew that they had some good gumption to them, Zoe. But it tells me that they, you know, we know that they've got scoring depth because everybody, I think, was expecting it to be Marchand, Pastrnak, or Bergeron to score. and it's David Krejci. That, I mean, especially that second one. What a hammer. I mean, what a hammer of the shot to tie it up from the flank.
Krug play right down the middle, I mean.
Well, then the Krug play at the end, right. But I'm saying at least to tie it up, you had Krejci doing that, and then you have Krug who with Marchand was on the ice. But Krug play, just the parting of the seas, I mean, it was fantastic. And we talked to him post-game, though. I don't know if you caught or not, but he talked about how he saw the play from his perspective and how he intentionally juked a little bit to his left to get Parise to feign towards that side, and it completely worked and it opened it up. I mean, the Garden was going ballistic. I mean, literally, guys were jumping up and down in the stands next to us, hugging each other like they had just won a playoff round. I mean, it was awesome environment. So it showed me that they've got some good depth.
In that game, the Bruins seemed to be on the penalty kill all night long.
Too much.
And Bruce Cassidy was critical of the officials and the refs on the ice after the game. Do you think that was warranted criticism?
I think what was warranted, I really don't have much problem with the penalties that were called against the Bruins. It was a couple of penalties that were not called against Minnesota. And quite honestly, the penalty late in the game, it was a tripping call. I thought it was marginal at best, but the Bruins got that. But there were two or three infractions in game, that I'm like, how the hell are these not being called against Minnesota? Like, seriously, like what? How are they missing that? And I thought that was to me was more of an indication of why Bruce was upset than the others. I mean, the Bruins had a lot called against them, but if you're going to be whistle happy, you know, look for both teams. And I felt that they missed at least three good ones against Minnesota.
All right, so U.S. Thanksgiving, Billy.
Yep.
As we know, this week,
yep.
Whether or not Jim says Happy Thanksgiving or not, it's still going to happen on Thursday.
Unbelievable.
This is obviously, it has been historically an important date as far as the standings go in the NHL. There have been a few occasions in recent years where it didn't matter as much. How do you sort of see it across the league, not only for the Bruins, but the entire league?
And this is a late one, too.
Going this year, as far as this date goes and the way the standings are right now.
Yeah, I was looking at this similar thing, Beto, last night, because if you flash onto the NHL or wherever, you look at NHL standings, especially, let's just keep it the East Conference, okay? It makes it simpler. Tampa and Toronto are on the outside looking in right now. So they're 3 points behind. Both of those teams are tied with 26 points. The difference being is that Toronto has played 4 more games than Tampa. And they're 3 points behind Philadelphia for the last wild card. Now, they're just 1 point behind Montreal in the Atlantic Division. I see one, if not both, of those teams getting in. I just do. So, you know, the fact that Toronto's played 4 more games doesn't bode well for them, but with the coaching change up there, with Sheldon Keefe taking over for Mike Babcock last week, and they won a couple in a row right now, it could have a nice impact on this team, at least for the short term. If they could reel off like 8 of 10, they could put themselves in the spot. I'm not thoroughly convinced yet about Montreal, so that would be a team I could see dropping out of the playoff picture. And then the two teams that are right now battling for the last wild card are Pitt and Philadelphia. I still haven't seen enough. Philly has shown me a little something, but I haven't seen enough from them. But after Tampa and Toronto, the two teams, Beetle, that are out of the playoffs right now, I don't see anybody from the Eastern Conference making the playoffs right there. So I would say you've got, you know, 8 that make it. I think we have 10 legit that are battling for 8 spots right now in the East.
Okay. Appreciate your time, Billy.
All right, Billy.
Happy healthy to everybody, even you Jimmy. Too. Have a great one, okay?
Same to you. Jim already celebrated Thanksgiving, so you don't have to wish him. He already took care of it last week.
Good talking to you guys.
Like some
be well.
Cult.
All right.
Like some cult
thanks,
man.
Billy. Billy Jaffe with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hardy has headlines, no commercials. We're right back, and I see you waiting on the phone lines on Patriots of the 90s when the Patriots were bad and Lamar Jackson. So we'll do all that coming up in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.